Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, help me to make this time of prayer fruitful, this loving conversation with you. And today we pray about our devotion to the holy souls in purgatory. November begins with the Feast of All Saints, that vast multitude beyond all counting, now rejoicing forever in heaven. But we know that in order to go to heaven, the soul must be perfectly purified. And if it is not purified at death, in your mercy, you grant us an opportunity to be purified in the next life. The Catechism says, all who die in God's grace and friendship, but still imperfectly purified, are indeed assured of their eternal salvation. But after death, they undergo purification so as to achieve the holiness necessary to enter the joy of heaven. The Church gives the name purgatory to this final purification of the elect. Purification to achieve the holiness necessary to enter the joy of heaven. And Lord, we can understand that we must be perfectly purified, because heaven is all light, all purity, all holiness. Those saints in heaven with their white wedding garments, if we were to peer into heaven and see all of those white garments, all of that purity, and look back at our soul and we had stains on it, we would realize, I'm not ready for heaven. And so we read in the letter to the Hebrews in the 12th chapter, strive for peace with all men and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Perfect holiness, perfect purification. Purification from what? Traditionally, the Church teaches from three things. First, from temporal punishment owing for our sins. We know that every sin harms the mystical body, offends your infinite majesty. And it's not sufficient that we simply say, I'm sorry. We need to do something to make up. Just as if someone broke a window in the house and they said they were sorry, we would forgive them. But we would ask, who's going to pay for the window? We have to make up in some way for the harm that we have caused the mystical body, and this is temporal punishment, which we can do in this life by all of our good deeds, all of our prayer, especially our penances, our acts of self-denial, because they cost us more. The indulgences that we can gain. And little by little, we make up for our sins in the temporal punishment remaining. And a good way to look at that in terms of our penances and mortifications is to look first at the sins that we have committed. And if we look at our venial sins, those slight sins, we might say with Saint Augustine, if you regard them as slight when you weigh them, tremble when you count them. So many venial sins. Yes, they were slight, but each one carries with it its temporal punishment. But then if we do many good deeds, if we do many penances, little by little we make up for them. And if we look at those penances that we might do, not putting sugar or milk in our coffee or tea, not putting margarine or butter on our toast, not putting salt on some food that needs it, getting up on time, getting started at our work, little penances, we might be tempted to say, but how little they are, will they do any good? And then we juxtapose these words with those of St. Augustine regarding sin, and we say, if you regard these penances as slight when you weigh them, rejoice when you count them. All of these help to make up for our temporal punishment owing for our sins. But then we must be purified as well from any bad habits and attachments caused by sin. Every sin creates a bad habit. We become attached to the comforts, the pleasures, the goods of this world. And Lord, to go to heaven, we must be able to say, I love you with my whole heart and soul and mind and strength. And that's not compatible with being attached to our car, to our clothing, to food or alcoholic drink. We must be detached from this world. And if we are not completely detached when we die, we make up in purgatory. And thirdly, we must be purified of any lack of sorrow for venial sins. Could very well be that we have committed a venial sin. We have told that lie. We were very remiss in fulfilling a duty. And we're not sorry for it, but we must be sorry. How can we tell you we love you with our whole heart and soul and mind and strength if we're not sorry for having offended you in some small way? And so the soul must be perfectly purified of these three realities. And the souls in purgatory are there because when they died, they hadn't made up completely on earth, and now they are suffering in purgatory. But they are happy at the same time. They are assured of heaven. And we here on earth are not absolutely sure. We can have a moral certainty, if we continue living as we are now, that when we die, we will go to heaven. But we can't be sure. Pope Benedict XVI writes of purgatory in his encyclical Spes Salvi, Saved by Hope. This encounter, he says, with Christ, as it burns us, transforms and frees us, allowing us to become truly ourselves. It burns away those impurities, those imperfections, revealing that true image of God that, Lord, you want us to be. And this fire of purgatory burns, frees us, allowing us to become truly ourselves. And Pope Benedict goes on, his gaze, the touch of his heart, heals us through an undeniably painful transformation as through fire. But it is a blessed pain, in which the holy power of his love sears through us like a flame, enabling us to become totally ourselves and thus totally of God. The pain of love becomes our salvation and our joy. And Lord, it's your love searing through us like a flame that purifies us, that burns away those impurities. And just as gold or silver are purified in fire and become that pure metal, the soul becomes pure in the fire of purgatory, in the fire of your love. But it is painful nonetheless. The suffering souls are the blessed souls, the happy souls, but suffering souls. And we help them by our penances. and so many souls in purgatory have been able, by the mercy of God, to appear to people on earth and reveal the suffering they were going through, and to ask for penances, ask for prayers for their release. Let us read two of them. The first is related by St. Margaret Mary Ella Koch. She writes, "When I was praying before the Blessed Sacrament on the Feast of Corpus Christi, a person enveloped in fire suddenly stood before me. From the pitiable state the soul was in, I knew it was in purgatory, and I wept bitterly." A soul enveloped in fire, that's suffering. "This soul told me it was that of a Benedictine who had once heard my confession and ordered me to go to Holy Communion. As a reward for this, God permitted him to ask me to help him in his sufferings. He asked me to apply to him all I should do or suffer for a period of 3 months." He's begging for suffrages, for prayers, for penances, to assist him in leaving purgatory and going to heaven. And St. Margaret Mary goes on, "Having obtained my superior's leave, I did what he asked. He told me that the greatest cause of his sufferings was that in life he had preferred his own interests to those of God, in that he had been too attached to his good reputation." And we can pause there. And Lord, am I attached to my reputation? Do I worry too much about what people think? And we shouldn't. There will be people who think well of us. But we should always come back and say, but they're not going to be my judge. They think well of me. God is my judge. He knows me, and I know myself. So much imperfection, so many sins. Let us not be worried about what people think. If they think well of us, they are not going to be our judge. And if they are critical of us, and some will be, inevitably, they are not going to be my judge either. God knows me. He knows how good I am inside, at least in my intentions and the penances that I have done. God is the merciful judge. And Lord, it's only your judgment that should matter to us. And so we go on. This Benedictine then, too concerned about his good reputation. His second defect, St. Margaret Mary says, was lack of charity to his brethren. The third was his all too natural attachment to creatures. And a second attachment, first to his good reputation, then to creatures. She goes on, "It would be difficult for me to describe what I had to endure during those 3 months. He never left me, and seeing him as it were on fire, and in such terrible pain, I could do nothing but groan and weep almost incessantly. My superior, being touched with compassion, told me to do hard penances, particularly to take the discipline. After the 3 months, I saw the soul radiant with happiness, joy, and glory. He was about to enjoy eternal happiness, and in thanking me, he said, he would protect me when with God." He asks for prayers and suffrages. St. Margaret Mary does them, and he comes back to thank her before entering heaven and promises to pray for her. And we know that the souls in purgatory can pray for us even from purgatory. They can't help themselves as regards their purification, but we can help them. And they help us by their prayers, their intercession for us. And Lord, help us to have great devotion to those souls in purgatory who are suffering, that vast number. In a fairly recent supposed apparition of Our Lady, someone asked Our Lady, when people die these days, where do they go? And she is supposed to have answered, when they die these days, most people go to purgatory. A smaller number go to hell, and only a few go directly to heaven. Most go to purgatory. Every day, 150,000 people die, more or less, around the world. Most of them go to purgatory. How many souls are there being purified in that searing flame of God's love? Suffering. Suffering not only the pain of sense, which is likened to fire, but that even greater pain of loss, of being deprived of the sight of the God whom they love so much. They love God more than we do. We are absorbed by love for the world and love for ourself. And in purgatory, those souls are being purified of that love for the world and love for self, and they're growing impetuously in love for God. They love him much more than we do. And when they can't be with him, they suffer. And we see this in this other account of a soul in purgatory appearing to someone on earth. In this case, it is a man who died in France in 1870 and then appeared numerous times to his daughter, who was a nun in a convent in Belgium, Sister Mary Seraphine. On the 27th of July of that year, 1870, Sister Mary received a letter from France informing her that her father had died on July 17th. From that time on, she often heard sounds of mourning, like those of her father in his illness, and a voice crying out, "Dear daughter, have mercy on me, have mercy on me, have mercy on me," begging for mercy. On October 14th, when she was about to fall asleep, she actually saw her father standing near her bed, looking very sorrowful and enveloped in flames. And again, that image of flames. She felt as if the flames were scorching her too. From then on, she saw her father every evening, except for a few days at the end, until he finally went to heaven. She asked him on one occasion if he was relieved by the many masses being offered for him, and he answered yes, but that he also wanted the Stations of the Cross. The most powerful prayer we can offer for the souls in purgatory is, of course, the Mass, and this man is also asking for the Stations of the Cross. He explained that the rest of his children thought he was already in heaven and weren't praying for him. And actually, this is confirmed by a letter they wrote to their sister, Sister Mary Seraphine, in which they said, "Father died like a saint and is now in heaven. And Lord, how sad. He died a good man, but he wasn't in heaven. He was in purgatory, but his children thought he was in heaven and didn't pray for him. Let us never abandon anyone who has died, no matter how well they lived and how well they died. We can never know that we pray for them." Her father explained on one occasion that it was not necessary for the sisters always to pray for him. He said, "Every work, even the least performed in the state of grace and offered to God, is meritorious and of atoning value, and serves to lessen our punishment. Those good works we do, our housework, our professional work, cleaning up the garden, doing the laundry, writing a letter, offered to God, is meritorious and of atoning value for the souls in purgatory, and as he says, it serves to lessen their punishment." But then he said too, "Oh, if people would know what purgatory is, they would suffer everything in order to escape it and to release the poor souls confined in it. And Lord, you are not going to give us this grace of seeing a soul in purgatory. And I dare say we would not want to see one. We would suffer so much. But help us to realize what purgatory is. Do everything to escape it ourselves and to release the poor souls there. Commit fewer sins. It is sin and its consequences that will make us go to purgatory. Do more penances, do more good works, gain more indulgences, live a better life. Perhaps we can be amongst those few who go straight to heaven, and along the way we will be helping many souls in purgatory to lessen their punishment and go more quickly to heaven. And then he refers to the intercession of Our Lady at the end of his life. He says he was sentenced to many years in purgatory at first, but that through the intercession of Our Lady, to whom he had great devotion, his time was reduced to a few months. And Mary, help us to have devotion to you, to love you, to trust you, who are our Mother and Mother of God, and you will be there to intercede for us at the hour of our death too. In October, he said, if I shall have to remain in purgatory 3 months more, it will seem an eternity. The suffering is so great. He had been there only for a few months, but he thought it seemed like an eternity. On October 30th, he said, alas, the world does not believe that the fire of purgatory is similar to that of hell. If a person could but once visit purgatory, he would never more commit the least sin. So rigorously are the souls punished. Sister Mary asked him on one occasion whether the souls in purgatory know who prays for them and whether they are permitted to pray for the faithful on earth. And he answered yes to both questions. They know that we are praying for them. And St. Jose Maria, in his book, The Way, speaks about his good friends, the souls in purgatory. In point 571, he writes, the holy souls in purgatory, out of charity, out of justice, and out of excusable selfishness, they have such power with God. Remember them often in your sacrifices and in your prayer. May you be able to say when you speak of them, my good friends, the souls in purgatory. My good friends, because I have so much dealing with them. I pray for them, and we can ask them to pray for us. But let us be able to turn those words around, and that the souls in purgatory may be able to say of us, my good friend, you pray for us. So many never pray. Some because they think we went straight to heaven. Others because they don't believe in praying for the dead, or they don't believe in purgatory. Fewer people pray for us today than prayed years ago. You do pray for us. You are our good friend. That they be able to say that about each one of us. And then on November 30th, he said, it seems an eternity to me since I arrived in purgatory. At present, my greatest torment is the intense longing to behold God and to enjoy his possession. His greatest suffering is not the fire, which was intense, but that intense longing to behold God and to enjoy his possession. The pain of loss, of not seeing God. And as we said, the souls in purgatory love God increasingly and very intensely. And when someone in love with someone else here on earth cannot be with that one they love, they suffer. And the closer they are to that person without seeing them, the more they suffer. The greater their love, the more they suffer. And this is that greatest pain of purgatory, the pain of loss. And then finally, during midnight mass on Christmas Eve, this man appears to his daughter for the last time in great splendor, and he said, my punishment is ended. I come to thank you and your community for all the prayers said for me. From now on, I shall pray for you all. And always that same gratitude for our prayers and suffrages for them and their promise of prayers for us. Lord, help us to have great devotion to the souls in purgatory. And let us finish with some words of St. Thomas More in his book, The Supplication of Souls. And it's written from a soul in purgatory to the reader on earth. And this soul in purgatory, in the words of St. Thomas More, says, "For if your father, your mother, your child, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, or a complete stranger for that matter, lay within your sight in fire somewhere, and you had the means to help them, what heart could be so hard, what stomach so imperturbable, that it could restfully sit at supper or sleep in bed and let a person lie and burn?" No one could do that. If we saw someone on fire, we would do everything to put out that fire to help them. And St. Thomas More goes on, "We therefore," that is the souls in purgatory, "find very true that old proverb, out of sight, out of mind." We can't see them. They are there, they are suffering, but we don't see them, then out of mind, we forget them. And the souls go on, "And yet surely to tell the truth, we cannot with good reason much grumble against you for this. For while we were with you out there, we in our overindulgence in that wretched world likewise forgot our good friends here. And therefore we cannot be too surprised if God in his justice allows us to be forgotten by you, as others before were forgotten by us. But we beseech our Lord, for both our sakes, to give you the grace to rectify on your side that fault common to us both, lest when you come here later, God, out of like justice, should allow you to be forgotten by those that you leave there behind, as you forget us that have come here before you." And Lord, help us to have great devotion to the souls in purgatory, not to forget them, to pray for them in Mass. Every Mass has that prayer for the faithful departed, to have other prayers that we can say every day, to offer up our rosary, maybe the first hour of work, something that we do every day for the souls in purgatory, and those little penances. And as they help us be purified of the stain of sin in our own soul, they will help the souls in purgatory too. All of our good works help them. And we go on with St. Thomas More and the souls in purgatory. "But although we cannot very well, as we say, greatly rebuke or blame you for this negligence and forgetfulness that we too were guilty of, we still, for your own good, do wish that you could, without pain on your part, at least once behold, perceive, and see what heaviness of heart and what a sorrowful shame we poor souls feel when we first come here and have to look in the face old friends whom we remember ourselves to have so foully forgotten when we lived there. Although in this place no one can be angry, their pitiful look, their lamentable appearance, does cast into our minds our uncharitable forgetfulness. Know well, dear friends, that among the many great and grievous pains that one suffers here, of which may God send you the grace to suffer either none or few, the uneasiness of one's conscience in the consideration of one's uncharitable forgetfulness is not the least of them all." Lord, help us not to forget the souls in purgatory, to pray very much for them, not only in November, but throughout the year. And then when we die, perhaps we can be amongst those few that can go straight to heaven because we had great devotion to the souls in purgatory. And we finish our prayer going to Our Lady as we do in the Hail Mary so often each day. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.